Podcast. I'm Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. You can find the Mocha Minutes podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Find us on any of those platforms or where else you catch a podcast. Also, still soliciting for ratings and reviews. If you would be so inclined, please leave us some 5 stars. Leave us some reviews. Would greatly appreciate it. Also, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mocha Minutes on all 3 of those platforms. If you want to shoot me an email, give me some feedback. Other than on those 3 places, you can email me at mochaminutes@gmail.com. Hello, and welcome back to the Mocha Minutes podcast. I am Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. We're officially in August. We are officially in Leo season. This is my month. It's my favorite time of the year. I love Leo seasons. I really do. Because you find out many people are Leos, some that you are never going to claim, because I am never going to claim Umar Johnson.
That's your man.
Oh, I'm like, the bad part about it is his shtick is so, it's such big Leo energy that it makes me sick. But then he perpetuates my agenda that when it comes to Leos, either you really like, if you are a Leo, either you really like them or you really hate them. There is no in between. There's no benefit of the doubt. It's like, no, fuck them forever. Umar Johnson is one of those. Barack Obama is not. See how that works? See, I'm talking up their personalities to their zodiac sign, and that's probably not it. It might be a bit of nature versus nurture. But I am here, and it's been a while since he's been here. It's been a long time. He shouldn't have left you. That'll dope beat to step two. I have Brandon from Why So Serious. Brandon, how are you this evening?
I am wonderful. I've been podcasting all day, which is great. Watching a ton of movies. I'm glad to be back. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I miss talking to you, so this is fun. I was telling Rashani, before we got on the show, I was telling Stephanie how you can live stream on Zoom when we do podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so I said to, I was on the show with Rashani from the Single Simulcast, and I was like, I wish that I was live streaming when we was reviewing Insecure.
All my friends and family that
watched that, because that would have been a lot of people watching and commenting, and it would have been so much fun looking at real-time comments talking about that show.
Oh, my God. Oh, it would have been, oh, boy. They'd have been like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, girl, I'm glad y'all couldn't see my face, because it would have been a lot of OMGs.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it.
I know you would have.
So great. But yeah, I'm glad to be back here. We got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. Some good, some annoying, some bad. But, you know, that's usually how it is.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. So before we get into it, what's been going on with Why So Serious? What's going on?
So we took a break for a little while, and then we came back a couple weeks ago.
Good for y'all.
I mean, we never ended because we were doing Insecure and stuff like that, but our normal shows, we took a break from. And so we came back a couple weeks ago. And so last week, I had on Rich and Jeff, and we reviewed Steel, which was funny.
I'm so glad. I'm like, oh, I don't want... Usually I get like FOMO with your reviews. Steel is not one of them. I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad I'm not here.
That movie's bad. It's really bad. It's funny though. It's quite funny. It's quite hilarious. So we did Steel. That was a good time talking about Steel. And so I'm gonna try to get back to doing a retro review a month again.
Okay.
I thought about doing a new podcast that just reviews nothing but blaxploitation movies. Because I haven't watched, I watched some of them, but there's so many of them that I've never seen before. And I know a whole lot of them are terrible. Because, you know, everybody only talks about the good ones. No one ever talks about all the terrible blaxploitation movies. And you know there were some terrible ones. And so my specialty on the show is laughing at bad movies. So we'll get to the good ones, but I'm interested in seeing some of the bad ones.
Oh my, I can't. Man, I can't wait. Because they're, you know, with blaxploitation, we keep forgetting how far back they go and also how many there really, really are. It's not just Superfly and Car Wash. Well, Car Wash be considered blaxploitation, I feel
Superfly,
like.
Superfly, Dolomite, The Mac, Coffee. Everybody knows Coffee with Pam Grier. My childhood favorite was the one called Petey Wheatstraw.
I just found out
that there was a Western blaxploitation, and guess what the name of that one is?
What,
Stephanie?
What?
Boss Nigger.
No, bye. Nope. I can't.
Boss, so we definitely added that on the list because I have to see what that's about.
I have to see because now I'm like, how'd they get that cleared? But again,
and it's N-I-G-G-E-R too.
Ooh. Lord, okay, yep, I'm gone. Nope, gotta go. I can't. Nope, it's a lot of nope for me. But I also want to hear y'all review it.
So this is the synopsis: two black bounty hunters ride into a small town out west in pursuit of an outlaw. They discover that the town has no sheriff and soon take over that position. Much against the will of the mostly white townsfolks, they raise hell, chase women, and milk the locals for cash while waiting for the opportunity to get their man.
Oh my God. I need to hear this review. I need to hear this review. I'm going to love it. Oh boy. I love it. I need this review.
It's either going to be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever.
The review is probably going to be the best thing ever. The film is not, you know, it's not looking great. It's not looking great for it to be great, but, you know, the review.
The film
I'm
has
sure.
a 7 out of 10 on IMDb. Yeah, that's right.
What is this? Oh, Lordy. Okay. You know what? Nope. Not going to do it. Mm-mm. Nope. You're not going to sucker me in, Brandon. It's not going to work.
The last thing is, Rashani and I started a new podcast. He wants me to co-host with him. Mm-hmm. It's called Hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where we go back and watch movies from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, and review them through 2020 eyes, good and bad movies. So this is not like my show where I just do bad movies and make people miserable. It's good movies. I made Stephanie watch Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Oh, my God. Mortal Kombat is the worst. Sorry, go ahead.
No, Street Fighter's worse. Mm-mm. I made her watch that. So we are watching all types of movies, and they're going to be themes. We're doing theme months, right? So like every month is going to have a theme. So like this theme is 90s gangster movies, right?
Boop.
So the first week was Above the Rim. Mm-hmm. And then this week was Menace to Society.
Mm.
Then next week is New Jack City.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that because
And the week after that is Boys in the Hood. So that's kind of how the show's going to go. So every month's going to have a theme. So we have a ton of things that we already wrote down. We have like a Mike Myers month, and then we have like a Tyler Perry month, and then we have a superhero month, and then we have like there's so many themes that we're going to be going. A Martin Lawrence month, and there's like anything you can think of, there's like a month for it. So Rashani basically planned out like 26 months worth.
Yeah, he did. I said, well, geez Louise, I'm so excited. Spoiler alert, Stephanie will be there. I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait. I'm like, oh, Rashani, are you kidding me? I'm so down for this. Are you kidding me? Like, oh, this is so great. This is a good idea. Because I think a lot of times, because I don't know if you've seen it on the timeline, a lot of, now that Moesha is on Netflix, it's a lot of people talking about Moesha. And it's so funny because I said this a while ago. I'm like, a lot of our fave shows have not aged well. Moesha was on that list. To a certain extent, Martin is too, but it was like, after a while, I'm like, y'all just laugh at it. But Moesha is the right. funnier one because a lot of people are like, oh my God, why didn't I notice this? Because I think the one that's getting me right now is the fat shaming of Countess Vaughn at the size she was on the show. And it's kind of like you go, see, yeah, I was a young black fat girl. I noticed that from jump. I still
it's
remember.
Also one of those, it's also one of those things where like that, well, it goes for like plus size women, but it's also mm-hmm. like, you know, like back in the day, I always found this funny. And this was coming from like watching Above the Rim and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the 90s, right, you'll see a show and it'll be like, oh man, like look how that woman got ass or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in like 2020 eyes, it's like things have changed a lot.
I mean, child. Talk about like, I still remember watching House Party 3 and they were calling Tisha Campbell, like her character from House Party, the big booty girl from college. And it's like, you like, okay, maybe she lost some booty. Cause I'm like, her booty ain't up. What we doing? It's like, what, mm-hmm. what? It was like, okay. So now we got the people like with the hot takes of Frank Mitchell is a terrible father, which he is.
He is a terrible
father. It's like the thing with Countess Vaughn. The fat shame of her, how Moesha was a piece of shit. Because, I mean, there were times when she was. I'm like, y'all, I'm like.
Why can't people laugh at that? Like, that's like, funny.
I feel like that's funny as shit because I'm just like, y'all, she is a piece of shit. She is a brat. But, and also, the behind the scene Moesha stuff is coming up. And I'm like, y'all, I feel like an oracle. I'm like, I told y'all this wasn't going to age well. And I'm very, very, scared for when Girlfriends hits the Netflix, because honey, it's gonna be a whole lot when that shit hit Netflix, because not only is it from back then, it also didn't really have a proper series finale, so there's that. So but it's still like people wanted to watch it, but believe me, there's gonna be some stuff on that show that we're gonna be like, oh boy. I'm like, y'all, some of our faves did not age well. All of them, some of them have those cringe. That's 2020 cringe. I think that's a better way to say it. Not really cringe at the time, maybe for some, but for the most of us, it's going to be 2020 cringe. Like, oh my God, we used to laugh at this shit. We did. We used to be ain't shit. It's okay to say, hi, my name is Stephanie. I used to be ain't shit and laugh at some shit that I really shouldn't have. But you know what this is? Growth and realizing this is not funny, but at the time it was funny, and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up because you used to watch Moesha and used to sing along with your booty, your booty need to go on a diet. At the size that she was there, you're just like, she got to be at least a 10. It's like, or a 12.
Oh, probably not even, just barely.
Right. I'm like, I'm saying 10. I'm like, maybe 10, 12 is like, yeah, I don't think 12, but it's like 10. The size she was now, because honestly, her and Shar Jackson, they weren't like Shar was super skinny, but also Brandy was a little bit taller than her, so that was the other thing. Countess Vaughn was also very short. She is short, so it's kind of like you go,
she's the kind of Joe.
Oh, Shekana, she really does look like her, though. I'm like, I'm not even gonna hold y'all, but she really does look like her. It's like, why are you like this? But yeah, it's gonna be real funny. I haven't rewatched Moesha yet, so there's that, guys. I'm not gonna be. I'm gonna just let y'all have it. But yeah, that's really like rude of me to say. I'm gonna let y'all do it. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna not participate in that. But the thing about it is that people are bringing up shit that they're seeing now and didn't realize it's bad. They really, they're not wrong to say like some of this shit is very problematic, but just, you know, take it from a fat girl that was in high school with Moesha was on. We noticed it about Countess. Don't think that we didn't. We did.
Here's the thing. Like, this is the other thing I say about this, and I talked to Rashani about this on the Hindsight movies, is that
mm-hmm.
I actually think it's these things coming back up are are good for a lot of reasons because, you know, you know, it's nostalgia and things like that. But it also gives you a little bit more positivity about the way things are today, because so often people get, you know, we talk about like how far things haven't come. But when you watch movies from the 90s, and the 90s isn't that long ago, or TV shows from the 90s, like something from 1995 is not that long ago. It's 25 years ago. It's not that long ago relative to like a lot of things. And if you watch something from 1995 or 1998 and you watch it in 2020 and you get a visceral reaction to things, or you go on social media and people are just like, I cannot believe they said this, or how can they say this? It kind of shows you just how far things have come in the general culture in 15 to 20 years. And because I'm not saying things are all better and how we should be hunky-dory about everything, but it just means that like things aren't as, you know, things still do progress. They may not progress as fast as we would like them to, but if you're having these reactions when you watch these TV shows and movies from the 90s or early 2000s, that tells you that popular culture has changed in a way that a lot of people can see the same thing that they would have saw 20 years ago and thought nothing of it. Because like, I'm sure there were people who watched Moesha that didn't, you know, didn't, that were, you know, counts as a size, but didn't take offense to that at the time, because they didn't know to take offense to it. But you watch it in 2020 and then like a lot of people just notice it like right away, right? And so that shows that like in popular culture, like fat shaming has come to, it's not that fat shaming stopped, it still happens, but it's come to a point where like things like that are noticeable to people and people don't like it.
Right.
And so that's something that you can, you know, be happy about in a sense if you're trying to find happiness in certain things.
Right. Because I think it's, you know what this makes me think of? Still, this was probably a couple of months ago, maybe a few months, where people were talking about Boomerang, and someone was like, who in the world would think that like Robin Givens was more attractive than Halle Berry? I'm like, at the time?
A lot of people.
And I'm like, you, what you're not going to shortchange is Robin Givens. Robin Givens is beyond fine. And it's like, you're looking at Halle Berry in 2020. You're not looking at Halle Berry back then. Not, but mind you, her face literally still looks the same.
Exactly the same.
So, but that's not the point. At the time, Boomerang was one of her earlier movies. Robin Givens was already established. It's like, and also, it was this weird thing that I don't think a lot of people were doing. How dare you say a darker skinned woman is more attractive? It's like, but a lot of people don't realize that's what they were doing. Some people realize that, like, oh, I'm like, I'm not saying it's because she was darker. I'm like, but the bad part about it is kind of cloaked in that. Because, like, how dare you say a darker skinned woman was more attractive? I'm like, because she was, because she also was Robin Givens. That was the reason why Robin was in that role. It was like, because she's
Robin Givens was the it girl from the first time she showed up.
Hello? And it's like, why are you acting like Robin Givens ain't fine? You're looking at 2020 Halle Berry, like, God damn, because she's also 50 something years old. But so is Robin Givens. I'm like, y'all better stop this. I'm like, please don't shortchange Robin. It was like, and I'm like, I don't know where y'all getting this from, but I can tell that you are under a certain age. It's like, just know, I can tell that you're like under 30 Twitter. You can't fathom someone saying somebody's more attractive than this person. I'm like, so you did realize Robin Givens not only was married to Mike Tyson, she also used to date Brad Pitt. She was on 21 Jump Street. She was a very big fucking deal when she got Robin Givens. She was like one of the headliners in that cast.
Yes.
So it's like, y'all, I don't know what to tell you, but you might want to.
It's also one of those things where like TV portrays things that are in society, but it makes it worse than sometimes, like the Pam Gina thing.
Because
like in my circle, when people used to watch Martin, all of my friends thought Pam was more fine than Gina.
Exactly.
And a lot of people thought that in real life, right? But the show portrays it differently. And so the narrative becomes, and not that the narrative is incorrect, but the narrative becomes, people didn't like dark-skinned women. They only liked light-skinned women. And I'm like, well, that's not exactly what happened. But the show, that's exactly what the show was trying to portray.
Correct.
The show was absolutely trying to tell that story. But that doesn't mean that the people who watched that show all bought into that at the time. And so then you'll get on Twitter and people will be like, y'all like Martin and y'all just support all this colorism. And I'm just like, yes, the show was definitely portraying colorism. But that doesn't mean the people who were watching the show in 1995 believed that. Like, a lot of them did not. at the time.
Right. Because it's kind of like everybody, that was the trope of, it still kind of is the same way. And I don't think a lot of people, like, we try to move somewhat past it, but not really, where you have the protagonist or the love interest being a lighter skinned woman and her best friend or really good friend is usually a dark skinned woman. It usually, mm-hmm. and not even really that dark skin, if we're being completely honest. She may just be darker than her. Just darker than her. So it's kind of like you go, that trope has been around for a very long time, and it was before Pam and Gina.
You know, it's funny, it was almost like the opposite during that time with the men. Because I remember I remember watching How to Be a Player, and all they did was shit on the light-skinned dude and How to Be a Player. And they were like, light skin is not in right now. And every time he would try to talk to someone, all the women would say that to him. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, light skin dude's not in right now.
I mean, even like if you look at the movie The Best Man, which the finest person in that cast is not the light skin dude. Even though I'm like, he's still fine, but the finest person on that is Morris Chestnut. And that man looks exactly the same. Morris Chestnut been fine. It's like, there is just like, there's something really weird about this. I'm like, okay, so first of all, you're like Lorenz Tate, where it's like you don't age. How fucking old are you? And then you find out Lorenz Tate's age and you're like, what the hell? Then you realize he really has been acting like my whole entire life. This is so weird. Because it's like, he's not that old, but it's like, he literally looks the same. It's like, goddamn, like, what the hell?
He doesn't age at all.
Like, geez Louise. All right, y'all. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I got to take a minute because, damn, Morris Chestnut is fine. Oh. He's so fine. Like, this is ridiculous. And it's really what this resurgence of, oh, my God, let's talk about Morris Chestnut. He's like 50-something years old going, hi, y'all. Wow, this is crazy. Y'all think I'm fine? Wow, okay. It's like, I love how he's like, wow, y'all really, all these young guys out here, y'all going at me? And I'm like, yeah, but you aging like wine, okay? It's like, that is Morris the Chestnut. Don't do this. I'm like, y'all wish y'all look this fine. This man's skin is impeccable. But anyway, because he was everybody's quote unquote, I don't want to say quote unquote, because I would consider him dark skin. He was everybody's dark skin black man crush. Him.
Yeah, I would say he's dark skin.
Yeah, I would consider him that. Even, but there wasn't no really person, I can't think of somebody who would put it against it. It wasn't like a Denzel versus Wesley, because I remember that shit. I remember who you like, or you team Denzel. We didn't say teams, it's like Denzel versus Wesley, who did you like more? And then Wesley started talking about how much he loved Asian women because they're so submissive, and they're like, well, I guess Denzel won. I still remember that. They're like, fuck Wesley, no, we're done with him, team Denzel. I'm like, you should really be on with Denzel because you find him more attractive, not because Wesley was a head ass, because it's like he don't talk like that anymore, or he just stopped talking. I'm not exactly sure which one.
He might have went to jail and, you know, revisited his beliefs.
He might have, who knows. It's like, it's just so funny when I think about it. I'm like, y'all, we've been doing this for a while. But yeah, okay, so let's get into the show. Let us play. It's weird to say I have segments, but segments. First is, am I the asshole? Typically we say yes, but for shits and giggles, sometimes it's like, maybe that might be a no. So this week's Am I the Asshole is, am I the asshole for accusing my girlfriend of dressing up for a Zoom meeting? I thought this was very timely because we're still in quarantine. So let's talk about that, because we always jump up. We always talk about Zoom meetings. Throw away because my girlfriend knows my Reddit account. Okay, so this is starting off hilarious. This happened yesterday morning between my live-in girlfriend, 27, and me, 24. Already she's older. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're barely talking now, nothing more than handing her the mail and stuff like that. So a little background on our living situation: we keep different schedules, which I know can cause problems in a relationship, but for the most part we've worked it out. I've been writing music and I'm trying to launch a TikTok career.
Good luck with that.
TikTok career. I can't believe this is the thing. So I keep odd hours. My girlfriend has a boring desk job and has been working remotely, which has been a bit of a pain for me, but I've been understanding, especially since she makes close to six figures and is covering the rent for us. Sidebar, you're actually shitting on her six figure career as you're trying to launch a TikTok career. Girl, okay. Thankfully, my parents are helping me. I should have read this first because I'm screaming. Thankfully, my parents are helping me with my day-to-day expenses, but they are trying to motivate me to get a real job. Thank you. So they refuse to pay rent. So the first thing that happened was that she woke me up early by having a loud Zoom meeting. Her desk is on the other side of our apartment from the bedroom, but I could hear her talking loudly and joking around through the closed door. She knew I was up late with my friends last night on Discord because I left a note asking her not to wake me up before noon. I'll admit I was pretty pissed when I stomped out the bedroom and gave her a dirty look. That was when I got even more triggered. She was wearing one of her nicest business outfits and was wearing full makeup, which is not her usual getup. I became immediately suspicious, and also I couldn't go back to sleep, which pissed me off even more. This is so, wow, okay. So after her meeting, I confronted her on the outfit and wanted to know who was in the meeting. It was her boss, who is a female, and a male coworker who I've seen once before, so I knew he's around our age. Obviously, her outfit was completely unnecessary, and while I can't prove it, I was convinced it was because of her coworker. Honestly, I didn't care that much, but it was one of those things that once she tried to deny it, I got more pissed. She claims, quote unquote, she wanted to look professional for her boss, but I don't think her female boss is going to care about how nice her makeup is, and that doesn't explain all the joking and laughing I heard. I accused her of emotional cheating, and honestly, even if it was for the boss, she's using a superficial method to get ahead, which doesn't seem very dignified to me. You're saying this as someone who's a person who wants to have a career on TikTok. That's where the conversation ended, just looking at me weird and didn't say another word. So I'm guessing she knows I'm partly right, but she's not acting like it now. Last night, I talked to some of my gaming buddies on Discord and most agree with me, but one of the guys whose opinion I trust thought I might have been a bit insecure. A bit. I'm sure this will blow over and she's going to apologize or at least talk it out with me, but I feel better if I got everyone's opinion here. So am I the asshole? So, first thing, don't you ever in your goddamn life talk to anybody how they conduct Zoom business if your fucking parents are still paying your bills and you live with someone. Oh, are you not only are you the asshole, but she should break up with your ass, and I mean it. What are your thoughts? Because that whole thing was a roller coaster of what the hell is going on? Like, what?
Well, that was very incelious. That's the word.
See what she said? I can't wait for her to come to apologize. I'm sorry. She apologized to you for what? What is she apologizing for? And he's like, oh, well, this might be a moot point because she knows my Reddit account, so he must have done it somehow anonymously, but that's not the point. You're just like, wait, what? I don't want to get up before noon. You ass, get the hell out.
So, I will say this. He seems to be trying something. Mm-hmm. That's not the bad part. The bad part is everything else. Like everything else is terrible. Like, why are you worried about what she's wearing? Why are you upset that she's having a meeting? Why do you care? Like, any of those things. It seems like there's a little bit of insecurity going on there that he needs to get with himself about to handle before you start taking it out on your partner. You know, it's okay if you feel. You don't feel up to the task of things, or you don't feel like you're holding your weight, then you try to get better, but you don't take that out on her. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. And it sounds like someone who is very incel-like. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to control the situation. And she needs to get out of that situation.
Oh, she needs to dump him so quickly. I'm like,
I can't imagine.
She makes six figures.
I can't imagine waking up and telling my wife to get off of a Zoom call. Like, what?
What? I'm like, please, I was up late trying to make a career on the TikTok. Please don't wake me before noon. Not 7 a.m. No.
Much worse. He was up late on Discord, which is like
a gaming. What the hell is
Discord? Discord is like a gaming, it's kind of like a message board type thing.
Is it kind of like Twitch?
Sort of. Don't play games on Discord. You just
it's
like a chat room for gamers, and not just gamers, but a whole bunch of things. Like, YouTube channels have Discord. Like, for example, I subscribe to a YouTube channel called Comments Explains. This dude that like talks about comic books. He has a Discord channel for all his subscribers where they can talk about different things in comic books and TV and stuff, and then make requests for the YouTube videos and things like that. And then, so you have that part of Discord, and then the other part of Discord is like game and Discord. So like there's a, I'm on a Discord for this game called Vault, which is like a new, it's like this game that used to be out, and then the studio canceled it. And so, but they made all the information about the game public so other developers could recreate the game if they wanted to. And so this is a new group who's recreating the game. So they have a Discord channel where you can join and get early access to the game and give feedback to them and to interact with other people who play the game to make it better, that type of thing. So it's basically just a chat room for people for gaming and stuff like that.
Okay. Wow.
And you can use it for professional stuff too. So like my mentor, me and my mentor talk through Discord. So like when I'm doing coding, when I make an app or something, he'll have me send it to him through Discord, because you can send coding clips of it. So it doesn't look like text. It looks like actual code. So it's easier to read and stuff like that. So we connect through Discord. So it can be used for real stuff too. But I doubt seriously he was doing it for real stuff.
I mean, he is talking about like, I'm trying to have a career on TikTok. I'm like,
hey man, that's a thing. Well, it was a thing.
It was a thing, but
But it was absolutely a thing for a while. I don't know what's going to happen now with Trump and this and TikTok. But
because I mean, it's, you know, it's bad when it's like, I didn't even know there was a British woman involved in TikTok. She had to make a whole video saying we not going nowhere. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But apparently, it's big with the kids. I just feel old when it comes to TikTok, because I ain't on it and I don't understand it. I see the TikToks on Twitter and I'm just like, okay, I get it. Like, I get what they're trying to do. Right. But I'm also just like, I'm old. So
so I have TikTok. I've never made a TikTok. I watch other people's TikToks and I'm like, I feel embarrassed that I want to go, can someone teach me how to make a TikTok? I'm like, because some of them are really funny. So I'm like, I watch other people's TikTok because it's a lot of people on there and it's a lot of Black creatives that are on there.
Yes.
So that's why I'm on TikTok. I just watch other people's stuff. But yeah, TikTok is fun. It should be. That's how the girl, I guess, is her last name Cooper? Sarah? Her first name is Sarah.
What is her name? Oh, the one that does Trump?
Yeah. That's how she
thinks Trump.
Yeah, yeah, she's on. That's how she first started. She's first started on TikTok. So
yeah,
it's, so I get it. It's possible.
So that's what he was trying to do. He's trying to be her.
Yeah, I was like, all right, buddy. I tell you, yes, you're the asshole, sir. And also, yes, not only you're an asshole, you're a broke bitch. It's like, you broke bitch. Shut up. Anyway, let's do something more fun. Another new segment. Give them their flowers. This is a segment where me and my guest, we give somebody who is here, we give them their flowers, because a lot of times we celebrate people when they're gone and we don't celebrate them while they're here. So the person I'm giving my flowers to this week is Beyonce. So Black is King dropped on Friday. I did not watch it on Friday. I watched the jubilation from a lot of people who watched it. I also watched the thinkity think pieces that I knew was going to happen. I saw that too. Yesterday, I did a very big thing, which is I bought a new car, and everybody knows that's a very big, that's a long process. I was there for like 4 or 5 hours. Everybody knows that. It's like when you buy a car, it's not like, unless you're, I don't know, Cardi B, you just drop the money down. You ain't got to check no credit. How much is the car? Bam. All right, I'm out. But if you have to do financing, like, you know, mostly everybody else, it may take a little bit long. So I didn't watch it yesterday either. I came home and relaxed and was just sitting here like, oh my God, I'm an adult. I have a whole new car. This is crazy to me. So 2020, I guess, is my year, even though we're still in quarantine. So I was like, this is my birthday present to myself. I'm like, this is kind of crazy, because a lot of times when you're a single person and you don't have kids and you like make purchases, that, and even though buying a car is not an irresponsible purchase, I don't want to say that, but it's more of when you're a single person, you are drilled into your mind that you really shouldn't be doing all this, because you don't have to take care of anyone. You don't have any kids, you don't have a husband, you know. Single people get on my nerves because y'all got all this extra time. We don't, but we also give the sympathy and empathy to people who are married and with children, that we're like, we get it. It's hard. I can only imagine what homeschooling your child right now is like. I can only imagine, so I'm not. But sometimes I just go, oh, I shouldn't get this for myself. I'm like, it's not for somebody else. It's not to take care of my child. I'm like, it's just for me. And I'm coming to a place where I have to take the just out when I talk about something for myself. If I do something for me, I say, oh, it's just me. I'm like, well, it's me. And I think I deserve a nice car. So that's what I did yesterday. That's why I didn't watch Black is King yesterday. I watched it today and I was undone by Brown Skin Girl. By the time I got to Brown Skin Girl, I was like, yeah, I'm a mess. I'm like, this is so, it's so beautiful. It's so African. It's so Black. It's not lost on me that there were a lot of, some of the visuals we saw last year after The Lion King came out and she had this album. And so a lot of the songs are not brand new songs. I think some of the deluxe album, she added a few songs. But some of the visuals, like the Spirit is in here, but the visual for Spirit we saw last year. I'm like, this looks familiar. It's not the total visual from last year. It's just like pieces of it. So meaning that this project, this Black is King, she's been doing this for over a year. So it's like, this is, some of this is old. So people who were involved, like a woman who did her body paint, she's like, I've been sitting on this for a long time, but I got to do body paint on Beyonce. There are people who, her extensions they use, they're like, now I can finally say, hey, she used my extensions for her project. She had a lot of African influence. She had a lot of African creatives involved in this. And a lot of the people that you see visually are either brown skin or dark skin people. That's not lost on me too. And to see one, the project as a whole, and I know people are like, it feels weird to hear the Lion King snippets, because she did put some of the snippets from the live action movie into the project. Where she put it, it kind of fits and it kind of doesn't, but it also still highlights the fact in the live action Lion King, I really wish you guys had did be prepared. That's literally missing from that. I'm like, Be Prepared is one of my favorite Lion King songs. It's one of my favorite villain songs. So not hearing it is just like, eh, because even in the Broadway show, Be Prepared is done. So yeah, there's that. But anyway, my flowers are going to Beyonce, because Black is King is just a beautiful, beautiful, visually stunning piece. It's a lot of visual art. And while I hear some of the critiques, I'm not going to hold y'all, I hear you. However, we really have to stop tying Blackness to struggle and strife. And if it's not showing struggle and strife, it's not Blackness. I'm like, that is not synonymous. It's not. It's okay to show the regality of Blackness and show the richness of Blackness without showing strife and trauma. We need to stop equating Blackness and African culture with struggle and strife, like those very sad telethon commercials of, you send 11 cents a day, this will help him get bread for 2 days. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I was like, what are you doing? So yeah, my flowers go to Beyonce. And
there's also, like, I don't subscribe to the cancel culture thing, mm-hmm. but I do think there's a thing that we do now where when something big or something from somebody big happens, that we try to find something to bring it down a notch. Mm-hmm. And people will even do that behind the gaze of positive, like for positive reasons, like mm-hmm. they're trying to, but ultimately it comes to this point where it's like, if it's not perfect, and when I mean perfect, I don't mean perfect like creatively, I mean perfect like it hits every single thing that you're supposed to hit in the world of not being doing anything wrong, then it's trash. And mm-hmm. and then people respond either if it's the greatest thing or it's the trash thing. And it's never like, you know, this is really great, although, like, you know, these things could have been different, but ultimately, you know, that was her art and it was good. Because, like, if you found some things wrong with it, that's okay too. Yeah, and it's okay to say those things, but that's not usually how it's presented. It's usually presented as, I can't believe this person didn't know this, or I can't believe mm-hmm. this person didn't think about this. And I'm like, well, one of the things that I like to do with these things, and because you don't never know any of these people, but people have track records, especially celebrities and artists. People have track records. And one thing you can do is judge people by their record. And so if a person has a record, and, you know, you don't know their personal lives completely, but if the person has a record, as far as you know, of not being a terrible person, then more than likely, if they did something like that, it wasn't to be terrible.
Correct.
And so if the intent wasn't, that doesn't mean intent means everything, but if the intent wasn't to be terrible, then the criticism could be corresponded to that. It doesn't, because the way people respond to it is as if it was done with the purpose of being terrible. And I don't think any criticism that people had of that, if that was the criticism, I'm pretty sure that's not what it was. I don't think Beyonce went into it like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to piss these people off by doing this.
Correct.
Like, I doubt that's what happened. And so if there was something that you think she should change or something to be better, that's completely, if you're right, to write about it or talk about it, whatever platform that you want to go about doing that. But a lot of it is just this notion that we have to bring things down mm-hmm. when they get up. And that's not cancel culture, but that is absolutely a thing in our mm-hmm. culture.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not lost on me that we're doing this with a woman, where it's like, how dare you do this? And why are you not doing this, that, and the third? Or you're showing opulence with blackness, and that's irresponsible. But we don't do this with men. We didn't do it with the rappers. We didn't do it with Diddy during his shiny suit period. It was like, the more abundance, the better. You don't do it with the baby. We don't do it with Drake. We don't do that with the men. We just don't. And also, I'm sorry, I hate to say this. Beyonce can do a lot of things, but she can't end capitalism. She just can't.
Well, that's ridiculous. She can't.
It was like, there's a lot of stuff y'all like putting at her feet. It's like this super weird thing. I mean, they kind of did it with Obama too. It was like, why didn't he end this? I'm like, we don't like the trope of the magical Negro, but then we are mad at black people when they're not being the magical Negro and fixing everything. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, which one is it? Uchiwali or Mike?
People want, some people want you to be black and broke, but then you don't want to be black and broke. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you talk about like how it's unfair that the wealth distribution gap, but then when people make it, it's like, well, they should have made it because now they're contributing to the wealth distribution gap. And I'm just like,
it's so weird.
I get the argument of capitalism versus socialism. I get it. But as long as we live in the world that we live in, I can't get mad at somebody who's trying to do the best within that system. Like, there's people who you should be way more mad at in mm-hmm. that situation. Than
I love how, like, you got all this smoke for Beyonce and Oprah, but you ain't got no smoke for Jeff Bezos. You don't have any smoke for him.
Y'all, yeah, and people are mad at him now. Right. People are mad at him now, but it took a while to get to this point.
Right. It was more like,
it took a while.
How dare you flaunt your wealth? I'm like, but you celebrate Drake's closet? Like, Drake lives in a museum, but we're fine with it. It's super odd. It's like, it's super odd. But don't think people don't notice. And I will also say this, some of the critiques of art, because that's the thing, no art is above critique. Some of them are valid mm-hmm. and I accept it. And it's like, that's the thing, some of it is valid, but you also have to look from the place that it's coming from. And I know right now she is being, it's like all those little hands and drag me to hell for no name going on at this proper moment, because there are a lot of, and it's funny because she's speaking about how Africans feel, and Africans are the main one telling her literally.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was like, they're like, you don't speak for me.
I thought that was funny.
It's like, wow. I'm like, and that's the problem. It's kind of,
but that's what happens. Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Why are you speaking for me? I'm like, the bad part about it is she's showing part of a culture that you probably didn't even know about. So here you are saying, how dare she show African culture? You know what's fine? Tell me which part of it. Which tribe is this from? Which country in Africa is this from? I bet you don't even know. But I bet you she does. And the person who probably crafted the creative artwork or did like the treatment for it, I bet you they know.
It's like when men, right? Because like people are like, men, you need to do better and call out other men. And we should, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But then you'll meet the dudes that's just like, so like a woman will do something and they'll be like, that is so sexist and anti-feminist towards women. I can't believe you'll do that. And then women will be like, we're cool with that. Like with Megan Thee Stallion. Like,
right.
That's what happened with her. Not in the most recent thing, which was fucked up. But like before, you would hear dudes be like, you're glorifying this and that. And then a lot of women would be like, yeah, we like this.
We've been listening to Snoop Dogg for 20 years. Yeah. What you doing, fam? What you doing?
Like why are you trying so hard to tell me?
But LL was talking about his dick for years. Snoop Dogg been talking about his life for years. It's like, you mean to tell me listen to 50. There's a lot of rappers. Like, I watched that, and this is not, I'm not dragging this. Please, guys, don't think I'm dragging. I watched the latest Grapevine TV video talking about misogyny in hip-hop. And believe me, there's this one dude on there, and it's like, everybody knows who, if you watch the Grapevine, you know who the fuck it is. I don't know why he keeps getting invited to the table, but yet he does, and you just go, y'all just bring him because he's contrarian. But it's really weird to watch a lot of men when women say there's misogyny in hip-hop, but then we also add the caveat of a lot of it, sometimes we ignore it because we like the beat. Hello, the Whisper song and Get Low and Back That Ass Up, which if you listen to it, it's not as bad, but for some reason, like, y'all like Back That Ass Up. I'm like,
that one's not that bad as the other ones.
That's what I'm saying. That was his, that's the thing. Someone used that as an example. I'm like, I feel like Get Low probably, or the Whisper song is a much better example. But again, you're not asking us, you're telling us how we should feel. And I'm like, so I feel like that's not
what also. Also, you can do two different things. Like, they had that verses with Snoop Dogg and DMX, and there were a lot of people who were in the quote-unquote woke community that were having a great time watching.
They were
that.
Very like, "Oh, I'm so here for this." I'm like,
and I'm like, I get
thought
it.
Y'all said, I'm like, see, that's the thing. Sometimes you can separate the art and the artist,
right?
And but I get
to
it.
To me, I was like, I get that. I understand that. Yeah. I can see how that can happen, because you can enjoy something and also understand, like, this is on a much lower note, but like, as a critic, like a movie critic, like I can say a movie's bad and still enjoy the movie,
right?
Like, I know it's not a well done movie, but I left that movie and I enjoyed myself, right? And
right.
So if I was going to review that, I could talk about how it wasn't edited properly, or the acting was bad, or the script was bad, or et cetera, and I could also say, but at the end of the day, I don't feel like I wasted my time for that 90 minutes. That was a good 90 minutes, right? And so you can enjoy a song and be like, because I can, like, I'll hear, like, this is on a different note, but like, I'll hear somebody say something racist sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I hear somebody say something racist, I get angry. I'm like, that's so mad, and it makes me mad. Mm-hmm. And the other times I hear somebody say something so outlandishly racist that I just laugh. I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Because you're like, this can't be real. It's so bad, you have to laugh. I'm like, I just gotta laugh, because.
And then so like with music, you can be like, yeah, this, I can see why. Like, obviously, I'm not condoning the words that they say, but that doesn't mean I don't like the song. Like, I like the beat; it sounds cool to me. And at the time when it came out, I didn't know any better, because that's the other thing that I think we do. I think Rod from the Black Eyed Tips talks about this all the time: is we talk about things that happened in the 1990s in the light of today, and that doesn't mean that they were perfect or right back then,
right?
But it also means, but it was also still a different time back then, and so the culture sensitivities change as time goes by. It doesn't progress as well as we would like it to, but it still progresses. So when people say like things haven't changed since the 60s, in some ways things have not changed from the 60s,
right?
But in a lot of ways things have changed from the 60s. And so you just have to be able to balance those two things out. And a lot of times what people do is they have to have an all or nothing. So it's either nothing has changed for the 60s, or with some white people, is everything's better. It's perfect now for the 60s. When in reality, it's like, yeah, some things have changed. It's become a lot better.
But some things have not.
And some things have not. And that's kind of how you got to look at all things.
Right.
I watched that Versus, and I had a great time. And the whole
I saw a lot of people that I was expecting to just go, fuck this. They were like, man, I'm up in here and I'm loving my shit. I'm like, see, that's the thing. Sometimes we can, quote unquote, turn our wokeness on and off. And I think that's healthy, because if you are, quote unquote, woke all the time, you would just be just
miserable.
You'd be miserable. You're a miserable person. I'm just like, I'm sorry. It's like,
except I knew DMX was not going to play Where the Hood At. Wasn't going to do that verse.
Oh, really?
It's really bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
DMX was everybody's favorite drunk uncle on that Versus, and I live for yes. it. I'm like, oh my God, he is the best. He is uncle. He was Uncle Earl on this Versus. I loved it so much. He danced for like 20 seconds and sat right back down and went back to his plate. I said, girl, I love this. I love this so much.
But it was something interesting, like that relates to what you were talking about. It's like I heard Jeff on the Sandy Report. He was talking about the Versus, mm-hmm. and he was like, you know, at one point DMX was like singing, like trying to rap through his songs, and he was like censoring himself or like mm-hmm. skipping over certain things or not saying those things mm-hmm. or like not doing a verse from a song that was like really problematic. And not to say that everything that he said wasn't problematic, because, you know, he still played What These Bitches Want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jeff is basically like, that even shows a level of growth. And that's not to give somebody a whole bunch of credit, but if you're aware right. enough to just be like, hey, man, maybe I shouldn't say this on this platform.
Right. Right.
That at least knows that you understand to a certain extent. Because I guarantee you, if there was a Versus in 2000, he would have played all those songs.
Oh, absolutely. It would have been like, no. It's like, oh, there would have been no censorship. There wouldn't have been. So, yeah. So, shout out to that. So, I know we went on a tangent, but it's fun. So, who would you like to give your flowers to this week?
Mine's is for Tariq Nasheed and Dr. Umar Johnson. Because, you know, it's Leo season. No. Nope. And I got it.
See, what? This is not a troll. What? Don't do this. I will block you, sir. We are not giving we are not giving flowers to those assholes.
No, mine's just for Michelle Obama for starting this new podcast.
Ooh, have you listened?
Listen to some of it. I'm not finished it yet.
Yeah, okay.
Did you listen to it all?
So I had started it, and then I like literally went into a meeting. So I heard the first minutes where she was like gearing up, you know, like, you know how we all do, gearing up before we actually start recording. But sometimes mm-hmm. that leaks into the recording and you're like, this is so adorable. You ready? He's like, oh, was a laugh like a signal that I was ready? I said, this is so great. This is so great. I can't wait to finish that episode though. But yeah, I'm loving it.
There's something charming about seeing like people you think highly of do regular ass shit. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that like she's actually good at it, I'm like, yeah. this is your first podcast. Like, you got to be good at this too. You know, it's one of those things. Like, right. if Barack Obama did that and he's just like great at it, I'm like, you got to be good at podcasting too, really.
Right.
Like, wow. What's next? You're gonna start acting, and I'm gonna watch you in a movie, and you're gonna be great at that too.
Right. Be right there in video on demand. I'm like, sorry, I gotta watch Barack Obama be in a movie.
But yeah, like I think that's dope. You know, I get upset when people are like, I need to hear from Barack and Michelle Obama. But, you know, and sometimes I do want to hear from mm-hmm. Michelle Obama or Barack Obama. And I think having a podcast is a good way to control the message out on your terms. Because mm-hmm. I do think once you become a certain level in the public eye or looked at by people in a certain way, that your voice can help in certain situations. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that your voice needs to be dictated by other people. Or by the people. You should dictate how you want to comment on things. And so I think by her having a podcast, being able to talk about the things that she wants to talk about, because I'm sure she'll talk about serious things. She'll talk mm-hmm. about women's issues or politics or things of that nature. But she'll also talk about things that she just wants to talk about or talk mm-hmm. to people that she wants to talk about. And being able to, that's why we all do podcasts, because we want to control the message.
Right.
On whatever level platform that we have. So obviously we don't have a platform like Michelle Obama, but we use our platform to talk about the things that we want to talk about. And people who listen to us because they want to hear about what we want to talk about. So like, I'll get emails from people who be like, hey, are you going to review this movie? I'd like to hear what you had to say about this TV show or this comic book all the time, because people value my, some people may value my opinion on those subjects and they want to hear about it. Well, it's the same way, just on a much, 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 much larger level in that. And so I do think that when you have that kind of platform, that is good to use it. But mm-hmm. I like how she decided to control it. She didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to just curtail everybody and I'm going to go out here and talk shit about Trump or whatever. She's like, no, I'm going to do the show with my husband. And we're going to talk about some politics, but we're going to talk about some other things. And I'm going to keep doing the show and talk about whatever I want. And I just think that's dope.
Yeah, I can't wait to, because I think it's weekly. I can't remember what day it comes out. I can't wait to hear the episode with her and her brother, because I think her relationship with her brother is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love it. I can't wait. So, yes, thank you. Michelle and Beyonce, y'all have graced our lives this week. But y'all grace our lives every week. Okay, let's start low-key. Let's talk about Chris McGee. So you may not know who this person is. And he is a guy who put up an internet. He put up an Instagram post. And he got dragged. Since his dragging, he has deleted his Instagram. And his fiance made hers private. So Chris McGee decided to make this Instagram post as a quote-unquote appreciation of his fiance. So this is what the caption said. Growing up, I never wanted to date, wanted to talk nor date a dark-skinned girl. I swore up and down to everyone that I would never date a dark-skinned girl nor marry one. When I first met Gabby, I was truly not interested for the simple fact that she was dark-skinned. But as time went by, I got to know her as a friend and as a beautiful person. Getting to know her was the best thing that I could ever, that could ever have happened to me. I'm proud to say that I love Gabby, and this is her Instagram. I'm not reading it, with all of my heart, and I promise that I will always love you and treat you like the beautiful Black queen you are. Thank you, everyone who helped set up. And he listed 1, 2, 3, 4 people. Shout out to his name is Jeremiah for the pictures, and thank you everyone for letting me love Gabrielle. Hashtag pending for Penley. I need y'all to stop embarrassing these women on Instagram. I really need y'all to stop. I need you to stop embarrassing women on Instagram. So I had put this up on my Facebook, and one of my friends said, he's just listing his insecurity. I don't think it was that bad. Those were her words. And and here's the thing. I actually see what she's saying, because a part of it is him talking about his insecurity. The problem is it's the way he worded it. And this is going to go back to words mean things. So you said, I would never talk to or date a dark-skinned woman. I didn't even want to date the dark-skinned woman I'm with now, but then I got to know her as a friend, as a person. So here's the thing. Even if she wasn't dark-skinned, why wouldn't you get to know the person that you're marrying as a friend, as a person? Like, what? I don't understand. And also, that is not a compliment to her. And it'd be super weird that people are like, oh, it's not that bad. I'm like, and I'm not directing it at my friend, because that's not who I'm directing it at. But a lot of people said it's not that bad. But imagine this was a white man, and he said this about any shade of Black woman. Y'all have dragged his ass even more. There would be more men.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Right. And y'all just go, what the fuck? It's like, y'all be like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? This is what we mean. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Because there's another way he could have said that. There's tons of other ways. But
yeah, I'm of two opinions on this one, because I had no idea. I saw you put this, I saw this on the show notes. I said, who the hell is Chris McGee? Like, what is
right.
this?
Right. Exactly. I was like, who's that?
So I read it. And so one part of it, it's really like, exceptional dark-skinned woman vibes, where it's just like
magical Negro.
Like this one, like, you know, I don't fuck with the rest of y'all, but this one, like, this is like, you know, when white people be like, I don't like Black people, but like this one Black person works for me, he's one of the good ones, like that type of thing.
So
on one way it comes off as that way, and then the other way, I see what your friend is saying, because the other way, I think one of the things that we have to do, I've talked about this on our show with a lot of the protests and things that's been going on. Mm-hmm. And I said that, and I heard Bomani Jones talk about this on his show too afterwards, but he was similar to what I was saying. He was like, part of this is going to be that we're going to have to, if things are actually going to progress, a small part of it, not the majority and not the most important thing, but a small part of it is you're going to have to give some white people some room to fuck up. Mm-hmm. Not fuck up in a big way or unrepentantly, but like, they're not going to get everything right. And every time it's not going to be of negative intent. And so part of this, you know, part of me is like, well, maybe he's trying to say, like, and this is where you're correct when like words matter. Cause like the other part of me is like, well, maybe he's trying to say, I was a complete asshole and wrong for thinking this way. And other people, other Black men think this way, and it's not right. And it's not cool. And I'm at a point in my life where I realized that, and I want to share that so that other people can reevaluate their views earlier than I did.
Yeah.
Right. That is completely different. I mean, it's not completely different than what he said, but that's a entirely different way of what he said that isn't so like she's a different one, right? Because the way the wording that he did was like, yeah, I didn't mess with dark skinned women at all, but you know, my wife, she's different. She's special. Right.
She's one of the good. She's one of the good ones. I'm like, why? And also, you kind of sold her short. It's like, I wasn't attracted to her at first. I'm like, so physically, you didn't find her attractive. You're like, but then I got to know her. And, you know, happy meal, happy ending, shallow hell. I'm like, girl, get out of here. It's like, no. I'm like, but also, I don't have to marry you. You deleted your Instagram. Because the thing about it is, I think when we get critique, especially when it's coming from the internet, and that's the other thing, is like, he wasn't asking for the internet's opinion, but I'm pretty sure a couple of your friends probably dimed your ass right on out and said, I can't believe my friend, because it's like, no one knows who this guy is. So no. One of your friends probably roasted your ass or, you know.
How did he even get shared on Facebook?
Right. Exactly. You got shared on Facebook. This is an Instagram post. So you could have been found in the Explorer page, but it may have been because people were roasting your ass in the Explorer page. I'm like, I don't know what to say, but I'm like, baby, this was not it. And it really sounds like she is the magical Negro of dark skinned women. And you're like, it's A-okay now. I'm like, see, this is why people need to stop couching their biases in their quote unquote preference, because you're not even wrapping your mind around why did you have an issue with dark skinned women?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like clearly he doesn't actually think dark skinned women are unattractive. He just had a reason to think dark skinned women were unattractive. Mm-hmm. And maybe he did. He just didn't word it properly. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. He didn't explain it well in this thing. I'm not trying to give the benefit. I'm just saying maybe he didn't explain all of it in the tweet, in the Instagram post, but maybe he did like have to analyze why he thought that way, and that's how he came to the conclusion to give like be with his wife and think differently about that. But none of that is what he said, and ultimately all you can do is judge people by what they say or what they present to you. You can't always be in someone's head, because I can obviously look at this from a intelligent perspective and think, you know what, maybe that's not what he was trying to say. Like, it's entirely possible that that's not what he was trying to say, but that's not what he said, right? And so and that's what happens when you put things out on the internet. That's why these are bad platforms for these types of perspective moments, because you know, the best one, like even on Twitter, where you could write like a thread, like if I wrote a thread of like 25 tweets explaining like how I came to the conclusion of getting over my bias towards black dark-skinned women, if somebody took the time to read that entire thread, then they could be like, okay, I get it. Like, that makes sense. But what's more likely to happen is one of the tweets in that thread is something terrible that's out of the context of all the rest of the tweets. Mm-hmm. And then that gets shared all over Twitter and people start quote tweeting you and roasting you. That's bad. But at least on Twitter, you could go, I had a whole thread about this. On Instagram, it's not even conducive to that. Because you're just putting a caption. So that's all you got. Right. And so if that's what you're going to say and you're going to put it out there, I don't condone his wife having to cancel her page, because I know them people probably going up on her page.
So she went private and he just disabled his Instagram. I'm like, you really could have just went private, but okay.
People are probably going to her page. There's probably a bunch of people saying you need to leave him, and another bunch of people talking shit about how dark she was. It was probably a mess.
Because, you know, the benefit of the doubt I will give him is that she knows him better than we ever will. So she probably knows what he meant. So it's kind of like when strangers are reading your thoughts, they only know your thoughts. They don't know your heart. His fiance knows his heart. So I would give her the benefit of the doubt. She's not like just canceling her wedding. I'm not going to tell you cancel your wedding. I'm about canceling. Stop embarrassing y'all ladies on the internet.
Right. And with me, like, I'll never post anything on the internet that I haven't already said or talked to my wife about. Right. So like with my mind, I'm like, well, I'm sure he's had this conversation with her before, to some extent. That doesn't mean that he still doesn't think that she's a special dark-skinned woman, but I at least know that if they got to the point where he's comfortable enough to put this on Instagram after they've been married, it's pretty likely that this has come up in a conversation between the two of them before. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, she probably knows about this.
Yeah.
Or this thought or this feeling before.
It's kind of like we give people what we love the benefit of the doubt. Like, I know what you meant. I'm like, guys, I know it probably sounds harsh, but I know what he meant. So it's like, it is what it is. I'm not telling her to cancel like her wedding. I'm like, girl, I'm not telling you to do none of that. But if, yeah, there's no but. It's just, I'm not telling you to do that.
But the larger issue is that, well, the larger issue is that this is a common viewpoint of a lot of Black men. Who believe, no, you know, it's something that's real. Like,
yeah, you can do it for any way that Black women are othered. Either it's the skin tone, it's their size. Like I used to say, because you could put in there, he could have, like, she could have been a large woman. I told myself I would never be with a fat woman. I don't even find him attractive. I didn't really find Gabby attractive while she's like this, but then I got to know her as a person. I'm like, see, it would still be problematic as shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can put it any way you want, or she is in a wheelchair. I'm like, pick one. Or she is trans. I'm like, pick one. Pick something, mm-hmm. some way we other Black women in some way, and it's still problematic as hell. And it's still worded differently.
I always do find these things interesting, though, because I find the progression of people who want to show that progression publicly, mm-hmm. it's always like a gift and a curse. Because, like, so often, like, somebody will be fucked up, right? Like, let's say, like, you're a rapper and you made a bunch of misogynistic stuff in the 90s. And now, mm-hmm. and now you're trying to be better. People will be like, well, I need to see that you're better. Like, you were publicly misogynistic. Now that I need to see that you're public, like, you're publicly better, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you got to be better in public if you were terrible in public.
Right.
And so I think with, like, regular people, it's this thing where it's like, I'm not saying this is his case, but I'm just saying there's people who were had bad views on things, whether it's like it was homophobic or sexist or colorist or like any of those things, right? And then they get older and they truly do become better, like they've changed their views on these things,
right?
And so then they try to go on social media and say, look guys, don't be like me, this is what I used to do. But it almost never goes well. Like, it almost never goes well, and it's for one of two reasons. Either the person is words it completely wrong and people rightfully react the way that they do towards it, or certain people are already upset because of the trauma that they've, because they align with that, right? So like if you've experienced that type of discrimination or otherisms, you know, you're already going to be relatively sensitive to that. We all are with those types of things. And so then sometimes you will immediately internalize that and then not respond to it'll be like, well, you should have never been that way in the first place, fuck you. And I'm like, that's okay, that's still okay to think that, because that doesn't mean it was never right to be that way. Mm-hmm. But I guess because I'm more of a softie, I do like to see people try to publicly or outwardly talk themselves through issues that they've had. Mm-hmm. I just think that you got to do it in the right way, because you got, if you're going to go on social media and do something like that, you've got to have it well thought out. And I think so too often people put things on social media and they don't think it out. And then if you don't think it out, how you're going to word it and how you're going to react to how people react to you, then you can be in a situation like this.
Yeah. You know, who's the best example of doing what you're saying correctly? Dwayne Wade.
Yes. He's
literally the best example of this. Cause for everybody who remembers Kevin Hart, when he was using, gay slurs, he was using them against Dwayne Wade. They are friends. Do you think he could say that stuff around Dwayne right now? Absolutely not. But you actually see his growth, and you hear the way that he talks about his daughter. He was like, I had to do some growing. I had to get some education. I had to do this. And also, it doesn't hurt that Gabrielle is his wife, but that's still not the point. I see the growth in Dwayne. It's like the growth in Gabrielle I've already seen, because you know homegirl has done some work on herself. But he's the best example of what you're saying. It's like, you know, he probably said some pretty fucked up shit before, but now he actually thinks first. And he's like, guys, y'all can say what y'all want. Love is winning. I'm like, I'm going to love her more no matter what y'all say. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. I think he's one of the, probably the best example.
And some people are still not going to get over what he might have said before, and that's okay too.
Right.
But I think that, but most people aren't that type of that person. And I'm not saying that's a bad person. I'm just saying most people, most people look for forgiveness in growth, right? And with themselves, right? Like most people who grow themselves want to be acknowledged of that growth. And so if you personally want people to acknowledge your growth, then I think you sometimes have to afford that to others if they show genuine growth.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the thing about this is like, especially with Black people, I've noticed that forgiveness is weaponized against us. Like if we don't forget it, but in this instance, it's kind of in this context, it's weaponized against everyone. Like if you don't forgive someone, it's like you're a terrible person. I'm like, but the forgiveness is not for them. It's for me. And right now I'm not ready to be there. And that is okay. Because no one owes you forgiveness and also keeping you in their space. It's like, I don't have to forgive. Like forgiveness, you're like, you know, I'm not on the, you know, DMX, only God forgives. I'm like, I'm not there, but I'm more like, forgiveness is for you. It's not really for the other person. Because one, if you're asking someone to forgive you, you've already hurt them. Mm-hmm. Let them work through the hurt. Because if they like, oh yeah, I forgive you, but I'm like, we're still not cool. It's like, okay. You have to be adult enough to accept that. And some people are not. Because you're like, well, I apologize. Because I have been saying this since it happened with Kevin Hart. I'm like, they asked you to apologize. They didn't ask you to mean it. Because that's the other part of an apology. It's also change action. It's also actions go along with the apology. They literally didn't ask you to change your action. They just asked you to say, I'm sorry. And you couldn't even do that. And that doesn't really say anything about them. That says something about you. Because also, I'm like, you know.
Well, that's what happened with Nick Cannon.
Correct.
Right? Because Nick Cannon, like, if Nick Cannon immediately after it happened would have been like, you know what? Like, I've heard from different people that what I said was fucked up. And I didn't know it at the time because, you know, I just wasn't in those circles. But I realized what I said was fucked up and I apologize. And I'm going to do work to be better. You know, people. Some people still would have been mad. But the majority of people would have been like, you know what? That's cool. You know what? I get that. And I'm glad he's trying to be better. But no, he doubled down.
Correct.
He
doubled
down and he tripled down. And then he apologized. And at that point, people were like, well, how am I supposed to take you serious?
Like, there are a lot of people like, no, you should have apologized. I'm like, so I get how forgiveness is weaponized against us. That does not mean we're above reproach. That does not mean that he's above reproach. Because I know it happened with the Charleston Nine. It happened then. It was like, do you forgive him? I'm like, he literally came in our church like a few days ago and y'all asking about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Like, what are y'all doing? It's like I get the weaponizing of forgiveness against Black people. I totally get that. However, Nick was wrong and he should have apologized, because that's what happens when we like link certain things to just being white. Like queerness is white people shit. Feminism is white women's shit. Anti-Semitism is white shit. And it's like, so technically it's not, because in all of those instances, there are Black people over there. Mm-hmm. It's like, it can't be both. And even then it's like, why are you an oppressed group happy to attack another oppressed group? Hello, we deal with the fact that the Holocaust, people say that one is a hoax.
It's a hoax.
I'm like, wait, why would anybody make this up? Why would they put like crude tattooed numbers on their arms? That makes no sense. It's like, that makes no sense. And also
people forget that like there was a whole American Nazi party at the time. Like here in this country. Like
they modeled it after us. I'm like, they didn't think of this on their own. And also they do this weird thing where they're like, you know, I guess law enforcement here, there's been some groups like they don't compare us to Nazis. I'm like, you're under this impression that Nazis are some kind of vigilante group and they weren't operating within the law.
Yes.
I was like, where are y'all getting this? Y'all think they're like some wild, like vigilante group, like terrorizing Germany? That's not what happened.
No. like the Black and Jewish relationship, not to get on that type of bit, it's very complicated history between those two groups. But like, you know, Jewish people had a version of redlining in a lot of cities too. Like there were things that happened in this country, but that, like I heard somebody say, to your point, somebody was talking to me the other day about this and they were like, how come they teach about the Holocaust in schools and they don't teach you about slavery? And I was like, well, they do teach about slavery, but it could be way, way better, and it should be. And I said, but here's the thing about the Holocaust that people forget is that the Holocaust didn't happen here in the United States.
It's not American history.
And we were on the side, quote unquote, against them. Mm-hmm. And so we're able, we meaning Americans, America, are able to portray America as like the good guys. Like mm-hmm. we were the good guys fighting this. And so because we can portray ourselves as the good guys and because it didn't happen here, yeah, of course we can teach that in school. Like it happened right. over there. Those people were bad and we right. came in and saved the day. If the Holocaust had been American history, right? Let's just say that happened in our history. And let's say everything else is the same. So we're still at the point where we are today with Jewish people in America. But mm-hmm. that actually happened in America 300 years ago, or, you know, or 50 years ago, or 60 years ago when it happened. It would not be talked about the same in classes and in the general, because people, just like with slavery and racism, would have to look at themselves with this, right? Like no white person has to look at their grandfather and be like, oh, my grandfather was killing Jewish people in the Holocaust. No, they look at their grandfather and say, my grandfather was fighting. You hear it all the time, like with the mm-hmm. flag thing. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was fighting against
right for this country. I'm like, you know, yeah. you know what that makes me think of? And shout out to Netflix's The Babysitter's Club, because they had an episode where they kind of talked about this. The Japanese internment camps mm-hmm. that were here, that we put Japanese Americans in. So it's kind of like... We don't never talk about that. But you know who know about this? Japanese Americans. They know. Yes. And it's kind of like you go, you know, like, we don't talk about, how come we don't talk about this? You want to talk about Japanese internment camps? You want to talk about the Trail of Tears? Do you want, there's stuff that we could talk about in our history
I know
that we don't talk about it.
I did not learn about internment camps until college.
Thank you. Same.
I did not.
Same.
We covered this World War II, but that was not part of the curriculum.
Nope, at all. It's kind of like, there's a lot of stuff that's like, we just didn't learn nothing about this. We learned nothing about this. So there's a lot of shit that's like, there's a lot of American history, because there's a lot of stuff that's terrible, that because all of our history books that have been like updated with little tidbits here and there, the original authors of them were white people. They weren't exactly big on history. They want history through their lens. So it's kind of like, no, we're not going to show you how terrible slavery actually was. We're not going to talk about the Trail of Tears. We're not going to talk about the Chinese people building the railroad. We're not going to talk about Japanese internment camps. We're not going to talk about why Native American people are on reservations in the first place. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, hey, let's talk about Thanksgiving and how we just shared things with Native Americans, and that's how that worked. So that's not how that worked.
But here's the funny thing about white privilege. We don't even talk about like how when people first settled here, like in the 19th century and mm-hmm. the earlier 20th century, how they treated Italian people and Irish people.
Yeah.
And they don't even talk about that.
Right.
Because y'all when we moved on past
thrown it at our place. It's like, oh my God, why are y'all like this? I'm like, y'all should come in here and make things better for yourself like the other immigrants. I'm like, I'm sorry, Black Americans are not immigrants. We came here as property. What are you doing? This is not, and also labeling slavery as forced immigration. I'm like, that's interesting terminology.
That is an interesting terminology.
It was like immigration. We came here as fucking property. What are you talking about? We didn't immigrate anywhere. What are you talking about?
That is an entanglement.
It was like, ooh, that's definitely an entanglement, y'all. Forced immigration. I can't stand y'all. Okay, next story. I thought this was hilarious. I didn't see a lot of people talking about this, but I thought it was interesting. A black comic strip artist had her strip pulled, and one of the newspapers it was in issued an apology because people were writing in and saying it was racist and they were offended. So this, the name of the comic strip is called Six Chicks with an X, and it was designed to tackle anti-mask rhetoric during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic from the perspective of the Black Lives Matter movement. The artist's name is Bianca Eunice. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. This comic strip has been around for 20 years. It first launched in 2000. So the comic that she put up that people are like, oh my God, this is so racist.
Excuse me.
It is a Black woman wearing a mask and an I can't breathe shirt. And a white woman comes next to her and said, if you can't breathe, then take the mask off take that silly mask off. So white people were very offended. And what was interesting that they said, how can you do that when this is the direct correlation to the George Floyd incident? And I'm sitting here like, this is when you know you don't know anything, because that's not where this came from. Who did this come from, Brandon?
I don't know.
I'm talking about Michael Brown.
What? I missed what you said.
Okay. Remember, I'm sorry. So the phrase, I can't breathe, they were white people getting very offended and saying
it started from Eric Garner.
I'm saying Michael Brown. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That is so bad that it's like we're like mixing up victims' names. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It came from Eric. It's like, oh my God, it's too many going around. And that's the sad, fucked up part. You're equating this to George Floyd when this is really Eric Garner. The I Can't Breathe shirt started with him. They're continuing now because of George Floyd, but believe me, some of those I Can't Breathe shirts that most notably the NBA are probably wearing started with Eric Garner. Mm-hmm. But sure, you're mad. How dare she bring this up? And why would you say that? I'm like, she's showing the flip, and she wrote a whole thread about this. She's showing the flippancy of how some white people are. Like, they don't even get it. Like, you're looking at it, it's like, it's so... You don't know where that phrase comes from. You do, because some of them don't. You don't, you're so flippant about it. And just like, oh, well, just take that silly mask off. I'm like, if you can't breathe, I'm like, you don't know anything. Stop talking. But
yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine today and about almost this subject exactly. Because he was talking about, like, I don't understand how white people don't get this racism thing, how they don't understand why we're so angry at things like that. And I said, that's literally what privilege does. And I was just like, you know, they're like, I said, I almost feel bad for some white people because like the privilege is so strong that like, you don't even like know to know sometimes. And then when you find out, it's like, you're fighting against something you were told against your whole life. Like you were told that you were right. You were told that you were the good ones. You were told that you were better than those people. You were told that those were animals and they don't care about anything your whole life. And then you get to, you know, that's why it's such an epiphany for a lot of white people, like in the last couple months. It's because like, you know, their whole life, they could just ignore it. You say, you know, I can just ignore it. And now it's like slapping them in their face. And it's just like, whoa, this is actually happening type thing.
Right.
And so, he was just like, and so this is where like, you know, sometimes, and he's a good friend of mine. He's a black man. This is where sometimes you have to change things, flip things up on him. He's just, well, I still don't get it. He's like, I still don't get it. And I was like, listen, you know, white people see a lot of these things as individual interactions, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, like, this is a white person who's not like overtly angry racist. They'll see a cop kill a black person and they'll think it's wrong. It's not like this is not even one that's defending it. They think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But they also think that that individual cop was wrong for killing that individual black person. And that cop was wrong, but they can't extrapolate that to there's a systematic issue because in their life, their interactions with cops and their friends' interactions with cops and their family interactions with cops don't represent that. And so if everything in your life that you've ever seen is one way, and then you got these people telling you that it's a different way, it's going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. That's not how it could possibly be. And so he's like, that can't be possible because they see it out on TV all the time. You hear black people talk about it all the time. And I said, okay, let me explain this to you. I said, how many black men have seen another black man or heard of another black man abuse their girlfriend or significant other, right? Beat them up, hit them, whatever, physically, emotionally, whatever, abuse them. And I was like, so many black men who aren't overtly terrible will say, that is an issue with that black man. He's been fucked up towards his wife or to his girlfriend. But if black women say, no, this is an issue with black men in general, this is something that a lot of us have to deal with, this is much larger than that individual person, a lot of black men would be like, no, what are you talking about? Like, that was that person. He was bad. That's not all of us. We're not like that. And because we have the privilege to not have to think like that, even if we aren't the ones doing it or even condoning it, because of the privilege that we have of not experiencing it, if somebody says that to us, it's like, no, that person was bad. That's not a larger issue. And I was like, that's the same thing with white people. So white on this comic strip, white people will see that shirt And because I thought it was funny, her explanation, she was like, yeah, like, she's like, I'm not even saying the person was racist. I'm saying that the person doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. And, like, somebody can see a shirt that says, I can't breathe, and you have a mask on, and their first thought is not that you're wearing a shirt representing racial injustice with policing and black people being killed by the police. You are just saying, like, I'm going to make a joke that, oh, you got this mask off. Ha, 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 your shirt's funny. You know, like, you wearing one of those shirts from, like, Hot Topics or something. They have, like, a funny saying on it. And so they're looking at it like, oh, you're wearing a funny shirt. Why don't I make a joke about you wearing a mask? And not even thinking, because it doesn't even cross their mind of what you're trying to talk about, because privilege.
Right. Right. Yeah, because it's kind of like you go, she wasn't calling her racist. He was calling her oblivious. And the bad part about it is you're just like, so that isn't what, like, she was just calling her oblivious, because the bad part about it is a lot of white people are oblivious to it. They've been oblivious to police brutality for decades. And I remember, I think it was a few weeks after George Floyd, I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, you know what's interesting about George Floyd? This isn't the first black man to be choked out and killed by the police. It's that this time with George Floyd, there was nothing you could argue against. There was no room for argument of, well, he should have did this, 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 and this, and this, and this. And you couldn't do it. So now it's kind of like, you have to confront that. It's like, okay, something's really fucked up here. Because with Eric Garner, you could, like, there was a lot of, quote unquote, a lot of arguments when it shouldn't have been. When even the guy that got shot by the police in Atlanta a few weeks ago, it's not getting more of a, oh my God, this is terrible, from white people, because again, they can insert the argument. It's like, you can't argue with George Floyd. There's a not, I mean, there's little arguments here and there, but it's mostly coming from people that you know good and hell well are very racist.
Right.
But the general white public are like, oh, this is terrible.
And that's why they've done polls on this over the last couple of months. And like, it's still shocking to me, even though I understand it, but like, the more and more white people in these polls are saying, oh, I get it. And I don't know if that's just a temporary thing or not, but I just know it's never been that many people before in these damn
polls. Yeah.
And it's because I always say there's four types of white people when it comes to these things. It's the white person who does get it, right? Like, and that's a very small percentage. It's white people who get it. They've been around it. They understand it. When black people say stuff, they believe them. You know, and sometimes they even, you know, they're like the ones, some of the ones that's out there on the front lines.
The Jane Elliotts, if we will. Yeah,
it's like some people who get it. And then there's the white people who aren't terrible people. They just are oblivious to it. They're just like, I live somewhere in Minnesota around all white people. I never really had to
confront myself with this. I never seen any racism. Like,
and so now that I see it.
Around you? It's like,
And then it's like, now that I see it, okay, I get it, right? It's those people. And then there's the people that are willfully ignorant. To me, these are the worst people. It's the people who aren't the KKK outgoing, I hate all niggas, racist people. Mm-hmm. But they're the people who are just like, yeah, I just don't care enough to care. Like, it's not me. Like, so whatever. I just don't care.
Yeah, the heritage over hate folks.
Yeah, I'm just going to be willfully ignorant. And then there's the out and out racist people, right? Oh, yeah. So you have those four people. And so what's happening with this thing is that the people who get it are being like, yeah, I've been trying to tell people about this for a long time. I get it. I'm here to support you. But then the change that what you're seeing in these polls are that second group. It's a whole bunch of white people who aren't necessarily pre-positioned to be racist. They just didn't know, or, you know, they just didn't know. And so when something like this slaps them in the face, I had like a student of mine at my old school, and he's been messaging me, and he's just like, you know, I kind of knew about these things, but I didn't know about these things. And he said, ever since I saw the George Floyd video, because mind you, he is overseas in grad school. So he's an
idiot. Okay.
And so he's like, I've been reading up on these things going back home. And he's like, I wanted to talk to you about this. And then he starts talking to me about it. And then he says, ever since that happened, I've just been doing research about these types of things. I've been reading up articles and reading things that's happened in the past. And he's just like, I had no idea that, like, this happens so often. And so then he texts me and he's like, yeah, let me tell you about this story. He's talking to me about his cousin is a woman, a girl, and she was on Twitter or on Facebook, like, supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. And she went to a protest and she took pictures from it. And she was talking to her friends about, like, how we need to support this and be better. And then her father
Oh dear God.
Her father said that, like, if you keep posting this stuff, like, I'm not paying for your college anymore. Like, I don't support this shit at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any daughter of mine doing it. And she was like, and he was like, he did, her daughter really believed strongly in this, but she didn't know what to do in the situation. Cause she was like, you know, he's my whole life. He's been, you know, provided for me. He's basically, like she said, like, my whole life he's been good to me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it. I didn't even know he felt this way outwardly like this, mm-hmm. until I started posting these things. And then he just kind of went off on me. And she was just like, he was just like, she didn't know what to do because she didn't want to, like, not have to lose anything, but also she didn't want to, you know, go against her own beliefs. So, like, he ends up telling me that she kept posting about those things, and he legitimately, like, told her, like, she can't come home about
yikes.
And so he was just like, he was like, that is so crazy to me that people feel this strongly about these things. And he's just like, I had no idea it was like that, because he said, I just always thought, like, he's like, he said, I was never, like, against these things. Like, when I would hear about these, I would always think they were bad and that the white people who did that need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. But he always thought that it was just that particular white person, right? And he was oblivious, mm-hmm. to, like, how it's so much around surrounding those things. And he started saying, like, oh, now I know when people were saying this thing, or when this is why I brought this up. He brought up the I can't breathe thing. He was like, I've heard people, he's like, I watched the NBA, and they had shirts on that said, I can't breathe. He's like, but I didn't. He said, I thought that was like a Nike slogan or something. Because you know how, like, mm-hmm. Nike puts those slogans on, like,
yeah.
the shirts all the time.
The same kind of font. So I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was like, I thought it was just a Nike slogan or something. I didn't even know. And he was like, but now, because he went back and was reading stuff, he was like, oh, I know what they were talking about now. And I was, and that's what reminded me of this article, because I was just like, that's exactly what it is. Like, there's a group of people who are just oblivious, and I'm not trying to give them credit, but I'm just saying those are the people that you can move. And we've seen that you can move them because we've seen the reaction, mm-hmm. that's happened over the past few months. And I'm not saying it's where it should be or where it needs to be. I'm just saying I never thought it would be this.
Correct.
I didn't think in my lifetime I would even see this.
You'd be like, wow. It's like to see the outpouring, because it's really interesting that, you know, you'll see white people go, oh, I'm so on board and dismantling things. But honey, that means we had a talk about a lot of things that's going to make you uncomfortable. And then for some people, that's their line. They're like, no. You can go up to the edge, but I'm not dipping my toe in that. And it's like, that means you don't want it to change.
Right. And it seems like people are willing to extend that line now to further than they have before. Like, I'm a University of Texas football fan. This is Texas. This is University of Texas, right? Mm-hmm. This is big, big business here.
Right.
Those players were like, listen, we got a list of demands that we want you to change on campus. And the coach who's is already on thin ice, but some boosters and people are already getting mad at him because he wasn't winning as much as he was. Coach comes out and says, hey, man, y'all cheer for these players every week, but you wouldn't let them date your daughters. I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Out loud? And so then the players came out and were like, listen, we got some demands. We want you to change this. We want you to take this statue down on campus. We want you to do this. And the school was basically like, okay. And they did it. And I'm just like, y'all don't understand. Like, I said to people, like, you don't understand. This is University of Texas. This stuff doesn't happen here. Like, this don't happen here for any reason at all. The only reason this happens is because the people with money or the people in and around the school that makes the difference are okay with it happening. And if the people in and around the school are okay with this happening, that means something is changing. It's like the thing with the Washington football team, right? Mm-hmm. They could have been changed their team, but what happened? People with money said, hey, man, it's got to go or we're out. And once those people started making that decision, it went and it was gone. And so so these things are starting to change a little bit. And I think what this comic strip and this thing shows is that there's so many people who spend their whole day shitting on quote unquote snowflakes who are actually the real snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that comic strip was ultimately saying is, I get, like, to me, you could interpret it as, yeah, man, there's just things you don't know and that you need to know. And maybe I should take some time to know it and I'll be a better person. If I just take the time to know it.
Mm, mm, mm. So, one of the newspapers issued an apology for it, and she was like, I didn't issue this thing. What the fuck? Y'all speak for me. The magazine, the newspaper said this. Tuesday's edition included a six-chick comic that was inappropriate and offensive. We have notified the syndicate that provides the comic, that we will no longer be running Six Chick in our newspaper as a result. We've also requested an apology from them. Our apologies for a cartoon that reflected the exact opposite of what we stand for as a newspaper. So, fun fact, y'all apparently are against obliviousness, white obliviousness, which is hilarious. I'm like, but that's literally how, never mind. Let me show
you. And it's the ultimate benefit of the doubt.
It really is. It's like, I know this is probably offensive to you because you're white and you're trying to do better. And, you know, you put Black Lives Matter in your Twitter bio. So we should make you feel bad for how Black people have felt in this country for centuries. Wow. Wow, Bethany. Wow. That's a mess. Mm-mm. That is so funny. And she said, fuck that apology. Now I don't blame her. Last story in low key. For the first time in 20 years, Oprah is not on the cover of her magazine. The cover model of the September issue of O is Breonna Taylor, a 24-year-old digital artist by the name of Alexis_Art on Instagram. She's the one who did the cover. She's the one who did the art, because it's not like, so basically it looks drawn, because it does look drawn, but she is on the cover of O magazine. This has never happened. This is huge. They put on the cover, Her Life Matters, born June 5th, 1993, killed by police March 13th, 2020. And they had a quote from Oprah. If you turn a blind eye to racism, you become an accomplice to it. It also, in the art, it has her in her Louisville EMS shirt, because, again, she was a first responder. So it's always really interesting to hear or not hear the voices of white first responders, especially when every 9/11, we talk about first responders. Interesting that y'all not talking about this, because, again, y'all found an argument against it, which, by the way, fuck y'all forever. And also,
that's literally one of the worst arguments.
It was like, what are y'all talking about?
Why you got a drug dealer in your house?
It was like, so that's not it, because the person they were looking for was actually already arrested. So that even makes it worse. The person they were looking for was literally already, he was already in custody. So that's not it. This is not a, oops, my bad, I broke down your door, send us a bill and we'll fix your door. You literally ended someone's life. And now the FBI has opened an investigation, and I'm just like, it only took how many marches, how many petitions, y'all attorney general, if homeboy had literally just got off his ass and stopped from posing from his engagement photos and just did the right thing, even though I feel like the FBI probably would have opened their investigation, but I feel like they may have, it would have been different.
Now, am I wrong, or did I could have swore I saw some people getting mad about this.
They were, because they were like, y'all acting like the FBI is going to do anything. I'm like, okay, so.
Oh, no, I'm talking about with Oprah. I thought I could have swore, maybe I'm tripping. I could have swore, or maybe it was something different. But I remember seeing some tweets like, why are y'all letting Oprah change the conversation about something? You know, she don't ever come to say anything. Now she wants to say something and y'all give her credit or something like that.
It probably was, and I have a feeling you're right, but it's probably, a lot of them are probably coming from men. They're like, oh, this is big. I'm like, here go these breadcrumbs. I'm like, Oprah putting her on her magazine is not small, especially a magazine that she has always covered for 20 years.
A magazine that mostly white women buy?
Exactly. Right. It was kind of like you go, one, and this Alexis Art, who did this photo, this is stunning. It's like, it's just gorgeous. And so I'm just sitting here like, whew, y'all are reaching. I get it. Y'all don't like Oprah, the Oprah that pays for Black men to go to school, but somehow she hates Black men, because if we hold Black men accountable in anything, that must mean we hate them.